Our Father, thank you for your wonderful word. We come before you and are so thankful. Even if we don't often appreciate your word, it is amazing that we do have it, preserved by you. We thank you that these words are living and active. And we know if we're your children, they have spoken to our soul and continue to speak. And we pray today that they would continue to do that too. May you be constantly opening our eyes to help us to behold your glory and also to see what you would have us do in this life. May your word be, as already been prayed, the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. And thank you, Father, for the Spirit. What a great gift we have in Jesus, and what a great gift we have in the Spirit. Thank you so much that it's his wonderful role to lead us into all truth. So may our hearts be open to him and to his teaching so that we might be growing in the faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, quite a few years ago, I remember Colin and I, we headed up a mission team from our fellowship here to go up to the Pilbara. I don't know how long ago it was, but it was quite a long time ago. And we went up there to be a blessing and to minister to the Aboriginal people up in Headland. So off we went. And they had been going through a difficult time because I don't know if you remember how their church building had been attacked by arson, and they were very discouraged. So we went up there. And I'll never forget the experience. We were going up there and they sort of kept away from us, the Aboriginal people. And so I just thought, let's get into it. Let's get into physical labour, roll up the sleeves, and off we did into the red dust, you know how it is up there. And we're working away, doing trips to the tip, cleaning up. And I remember them just observing us, and coming in closer day by day, you know, just checking us out. And it's hard to comprehend all this, but by the end of the week, everything had changed. And they were so welcoming and warm to us, and we were to them. And we ended up having a really special time with them. I won't go into that. But one of the things that happened as we were up there was they began to call us the Bazo Mob. The Bazo Mob. And we're the Headland Mob. And I remember how they said it. They said it in a way that made you feel proud, that we're part of the Bazo Mob. Wow. Well, this morning I just want to think about that. And think about whatever mob we belong to, the most important mob to be part of is God's mob, or more, less colloquially, the people of God. During the week, this phrase, the people of God, has really touched me, that we are the people of God. And just like how we were pretty proud to hear us being called the Bazo Mob, we ought to be so delighted that we are part of God's mob, the people of God. And I wonder if you are. It's the most glorious people to be part of. If we are born of God's Spirit, if we come to faith in Jesus Christ, then we are the people of God. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And I hope you feel proud about that. I hope you feel like you have to rejoice about that. I hope you feel honored and blessed to be the people of God. You know, this weekend, a long weekend, is known as Australia Day. Let's reflect on that. We're meant to be celebrating, even though there's some controversy now about all this, but we're meant to be celebrating of all things that we are Australians, no matter where we've come from in the world. I love Bruce Woodley's words, part of the Seekers, when he wrote for the Australian Bicentennial these words. We are one, but we are many. And from all the lands on earth we come. We share a dream and sing with one voice. I am, you are, we are Australians. And I share those words with you because when I look at that, I think there's something bigger than that. And it's to do with the people of God. We come from all sorts of backgrounds. We come and we have one dream and we sing one song because of how God in his great mercy through Jesus has made us the people of God. If we are happy to be an Australian, how much more we should be that we are the people of our God. We are a citizen of Australia. That's a wonderful thing to be, living in a fantastic country. What do you reckon? I hope you've been thanking the Lord for this country and praying for this land. It's fantastic to be an Australian, to be a citizen of Australia. But we're a citizen of heaven. That's what the Bible says. We are a citizen of heaven. We are God's people. What a privilege that is. This morning, I just want to share a word I hope that's going to be encouraging to you all. I think it's so important as Christians that we understand our true identity, because one of the things that our world will try and do time and time again is just to take away who we really are, to take away this wonderful truth that we are God's people. And I want to share these words with you, encourage you, because I know well that we live in a society where if you're part of the people of God, you feel attacked. You are pulled down by people. It's getting worse and worse. But I want to tell you, if you're part of the people of God, praise His name. What a great thing it is to be God's people. Now, this morning, I want us to particularly look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and also probably a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. These are great passages to read. And I want us to consider the privilege we have in being God's people and the purpose we have in being the people of God. The privilege and the purpose of it. So first of all, beginning with this, what a privilege it is to be the people of God. So open your Bibles with me if you can, and let's read verses 9 and 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2. I would encourage you to know these verses well, to even memorize them. And this is what it says. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. There's that phrase. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a wonderful passage to consider, to look at. The thing I want to highlight first of all is how in verse 10 it says, once you were not a people. We might have been an Australian, we might have been of some other nationality, but we were definitely not the people of God. I wonder if you comprehend that, you remember that, how once we were a lost people. We once were a fallen people. We once were a rebellious people. We were far from God. We were definitely not the people of God, but by God's great mercy, and by what God has done for us through His Son, He has made us to be the people of God. That's why we should be so delighted in how we've become God's people. We once were not a people. We were far from God, especially if we're Gentiles. Most of us are Gentiles. We were far, far off. But now we have become God's people. Well, we have received great mercy. It mentions that in verse 10. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it doesn't just say mercy. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His, what's the word missing? To His great mercy. And according to God's great mercy, we've become God's people. And by becoming God's people, we have received that incredible mercy that has enabled us to be forgiven of all our sins. And to be given the gift of eternal life. And to be given this wonderful privilege of knowing God personally. Wow. Wow. Praise be to God for what He's made us to be. And I trust that we all are part of the people of God. And I think of, sometimes I think of how simple it is. It's as simple as the ABC. And it's good to remember things like this. How we just need to simply accept Jesus as our Savior. To believe in Him as the Lord and commit our life to Him. We then come, no matter where we've come from, no matter what background we've come from, no matter what we've done, through Jesus we become the people of God. Hallelujah for the way that Jesus has made it possible for us to become the people of the living God. But let us now explore from 1 Peter the privileges we have in being God's people. And I cannot, just with these words, really bring out the incredible privileges we have in being God's people, but I'll do my best. And the first thing I want us to help you see is that one of the great privileges of being part of God's people is that God has picked us to be His people. He has picked us. Where did I find that? Well, it's in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen race. Chosen. Got to take that in, chosen. Well, back earlier in 1 Peter chapter 1 at the beginning, it says there in verses 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. See how the Bible emphasizes how we are a chosen people. God has picked us out of the world to be his people. People get a bit all hung over about all this, but hang on. It's as simple as this. There's two sides to a coin. And the Bible emphasizes how God emphasizes how we must put our faith in Jesus. We are urged and commanded to put our faith in Jesus. But the other side of the coin is God's chosen you. God has picked you. And what you're meant to be doing with that incredible truth is this. It ought to fill you with wonder. It ought to make you say this question. Why has God picked me? I am so blown away that he has chosen me and called me to himself that I might be his people. It should fill your heart with joy and gladness rather than thinking, well, what does all this mean? That's how it's meant to be. If you have any, if you want to pursue this further, I reckon the best chapter in the Bible about this is John chapter 6. Guess who's speaking there? Jesus. And you will see Jesus speaking about this incredible thing of how God has chosen a people for himself and he has called us to Jesus. He's drawn us to Jesus that we might be his people. So what is it meant to do? Praise God that he has picked me and drawn me to be part of his people. That's a wonderful privilege. Secondly, we have been made priests to our God. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, and then it says a royal priesthood. I love that phrase, a royal priesthood. We're not just priests, we're a royal priesthood. Ever think about those words? We're a royal priesthood. We're royalty. Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, to be the Queen or King of England, you've got to be in the right line. You've got to be of the House of Windsor. You don't have any show otherwise. But we, us Motley Crue, we have become royalty. We have become royal priests. And even priests, think about that in the Old Testament. To be a priest, you had to be born of the tribe of Levi. Really, really restricted. But we, God has made us through Jesus priests. Wow, we're meant to be able to look at these things and go, wow, what a privilege it is to be the people of God. We have become royal priests. I don't know if you grasp these things. This should blow our mind what God has done. So often we are very narrow in our thinking when we think about the cross. We just think about how we have been forgiven of our sins. And we forget how much more there is. Yes, that was the stepping stone to so much. We are such a privileged people. We are God's priests. I love the way in Revelation chapter 1 we have this mentioned. Where in Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 and 6 or part way through verse 5 it says about Jesus, to him who loves us and who has released us from our sins by his blood and who has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. See the bigger picture? See what we have been made? What a privilege it is to be the people of God. For the people of God, we are the Lord's royal priests. And just think about what it means to be a priest. It means that we're the ones who have the privilege of presenting ourselves before God and personally knowing him. And not only that, but performing his work. And if I think about these things correctly, this position we have is higher than any position in the whole world. Higher than the President of America. Like miles higher. Higher than the Queen of England. Higher than anything. It is incredible that we as God's people have been made his royal priests. You've got to grasp these things. This will help you walk this road we walk with a head lifted up despite the opposition we face as Christians. Thirdly, we have been possessed by God. What is that? Well, that's in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 as well. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So what does that mean? That means God has taken hold of you. He has taken ownership of you. He's taken you to be part of him. And what does that mean to me? That shows to me how precious we are to God. He has taken hold of us. And not only that, because of how we are the Lord, he will protect us. That's great, isn't it? He will provide for us. Because we are His people. We're His possession. He will look after us. We are, from the Psalms, the apple of His eye. That's what we need to grasp hold of. I reckon a lot of these wonderful things about us being the Lord's possession is in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 5. Let's have a read of that. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again. I just want to pause there. That just speaks to me of how precious we are to God. He has caused us to, because of His great mercy, to be born again. And it goes on to say, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, how precious we are to God. How God has provided us with a great salvation. We've just got a drop from the bucket so far. There is so much more to come. And God will protect us. That's what it says there. By His mighty power, He will protect us from this moment on until we're there in glory. Because we are His possession. He will jealously guard us. Brothers and sisters, lift your eyes high and see who you are, what God has done for you. Walk this earth well with heads lifted up. You are a privileged people. Do not listen to the world that wants to make you just scum. You are the people of God. One day in glory, it will all come clear. But let us, as best we can in the days we live, know that we are God's people. Well, the next thing I want us to consider is the purposes that God has given us as His people. Do you know your purpose? It's a glorious purpose. Let me say that first of all. It's a purpose that fills us with lasting joy. You want some joy? And peace and contentment. The way we find it as Christians is to know our purpose as God's people and to live it out. This purpose is why we exist, why we were made in the image of God, and why we were saved by the Son of God. In 1 Peter chapters 1 and 2, I see three main purposes that God has given us as His people. The first one, back to 1 Peter, what's the common verse we use? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you've got to know that verse. That's a great verse. So it says there, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that," there's the purpose, "so that you may just sit back and do nothing." No, that's not it. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." What a purpose! It should excite you as the people of God that we have this wonderful purpose to proclaim God's holy character. In my translation, I love the way it's been put, to proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a word, excellencies. Is that how you view our God? He is so excellent. His glory and His greatness is so you so should want to proclaim it. To proclaim it to all people, to ourselves in song as we do, and to the world in speech. We're meant to be proclaiming the excellencies of our great God, His glory and greatness, His majesty and power, His mercy and His grace. You know, when I think about this, I can't help but think of the man that Jesus healed in Mark chapter 5. He was a raving lunatic. He ran around the tombs naked and cutting himself. He was a demon-possessed man, and Jesus met him and healed him, and then it says that he was sitting down, clothed, and with a right mind. Wow, what a transforming effect Jesus had on this man. And this man so wanted to follow Jesus, to be one of the 12. But Jesus said no. And He said to him what He wanted him to do. But it's exactly what we're meant to be doing too. What did He say to this man? He said, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on your soul. That's exactly what 1 Peter 2 is saying. We're meant to be proclaiming the great things of our God and what he's done for us and proclaiming it loudly, how we need courage, how we need to understand these things, that we might not shrink back, but be firm in our conviction of who our God is and not hold it in, but let it out in song and in speech to all the world. You know, I can't help but think of King David here. In Psalm 57, he's already doing it before Jesus came. Psalm 57, 9 to 11, it says there, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. And I've got to say to you, when I read David doing that, I can't help but think, if he's doing it then, how much more we should be? Why do I say that? Because we have seen so much more of the greatness of God. We have seen the coming of Jesus, the fulfillment of prophecy, the great salvation that God has provided through his Son. All the more we should be doing that, even more than David did. That's how it should be. How we are to proclaim his excellencies. That's our purpose. What's the other purpose we have? Well, the next purpose I want to highlight to you is that we are to present God's holy character to the world, to the people. We are to be a holy people reflecting our holy God. That's very important. And in fact, without that, the proclamation we bring of his excellency sort of falls away. It sort of loses our power. How we need to be a holy people. It's there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We're meant to be a holy people, people who are like God. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says there those words in 14 to 16. Picking up from the book of Leviticus, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 to 16, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. Come across that before in the Bible? It's Leviticus. And here the Apostle Peter brings it right into the New Testament. One of our great purposes is that we be a holy people, that we be a people that reflects the holy character of our God. Man, you can't do it though, unless the Holy Spirit is in you and you allow him to rule your life. So that's important to grasp. It's not like having all these laws and getting beaten down by all these laws. You need the Holy Spirit to transform you. But this is one of our great purposes, that we reflect the holiness of God. Or to put it like this, God's the sun, we're the moon. What's the moon? Just a whole lot of dirt. It's got no light of its own. But the moon reflects the light of the sun. We're meant to be a good moon, a full moon, shining the glory of the Son of God and the Father on high. It goes on to speak about these things in 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. It says there, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. I look at those words and I see that our purpose is to be a holy people. And I really appreciate these words. These words help us appreciate how difficult it is. What language? We have fleshly lusts which wage war against my soul. What a struggle we have. But God's purpose for us is to overcome that by the Spirit and to shine God's holy character to the world. We must grasp that important purpose. Otherwise, we become just like the rest of the world, and the world will see no distinction between the people of God and the people of the world. This is what Jesus meant when he said that we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the light of the world. But there's one more purpose. This is the greatest purpose of all. It's the purpose that shall continue so for all eternity. What purpose could that be? What is our highest purpose? Why have we been made? Why have we been saved? What's evangelism all about? It's about making pagan sinners into praising saints. Our greatest purpose is to be those who praise the name of the Lord. To praise the name of the Lord. And I refer you back to that verse I've already read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in 1 Peter, you see this theme coming through again and again. Praise the Lord. Even in the latter chapters, it's speaking about very difficult times that Christians go through and how even in those difficult times we are to praise the Lord. Praise God. Glorify God. That's our chief purpose. Wow, what a powerful witness that is. Like Paul and Silas in prison. Can you imagine being a prisoner when they're in jail, they've been beaten up, they're in the lowest part of the dungeon, they're chained there, and they're singing praises to God and praising him in prayer. What a powerful testimony that is. But whether it's a powerful testimony or not, how fitting it is that we should praise the Lord no matter what. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to God our Father. Praise be to God the Son, who has made us to be the people of God. How do you feel this morning? You know, I want to finish again on those words I read earlier from Revelation chapter 1. Take these words in, reading all of verse 5 and into verse 6. It says about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and has released us from our sins by his blood, and who has made us to be a kingdom, priests, royal priests, to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And the people of God said, Amen. That's how it should be. We're God's people. Let's live as God's people. Let us consider it a wonderful privilege to be the people of God. And let us also live as the people of God should, with those purposes that God has given us, to proclaim his name, to present God's holy character to the world, and to praise his name always. We're going to sing a song now that says, Come people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Our Father, so often we are very narrow in our focus, even I am, and I thank you for the way as we look at your word, we get to see more and more what you have done for us. What a great God you are. What a glorious God. What an amazing God that you have not only forgiven us of our sins, but you've made us your people. And as your people, we are so privileged in every sense. Thank you so much for the way that you have done great things to make us your people. And we thank you, Father, for our purpose too. We're not just here just fiddling our thumbs. Thank you for the amazing purpose you've given us. To be a people of truth, a people of light, a people of the risen King. Lord, help us to take hold of these things, that our lives would really be transformed, that we would be living out these words to the glory of your name, to the praise of your glorious name. Father, thank you for the time we've had this morning. Thank you for these special scriptures that we've looked at. Help us to even remember these words from 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Thank you that we, though we were once not a people, now we have become your people. How we love you for that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.